someone hired into a position of power over me wanted me out. The last 2 years were tough. My last year was misery, and my family can attest to the tears I shed. You know, and then I dried those tears, and I chose early retirement in 2005 after 24 years with the United Church. You know, at the time, I didn't see the Lord's hand in my departure. But the United Church continued to move more and more away from Christian beliefs and norms. There was a big fracas in 2015 that reached all the way to the General Council, and the Council decision that they would ordain an avowed atheist because she had completed her seminary training at one of the theological colleges. More recently, a group of ministers unionized and created Unifaith, which is a division of the labor union Unifor. I think I would have had a real hard time thriving in that environment, but I couldn't see in advance what the Lord was saving me from. I got a little part-time job that I wasn't good at and I didn't like. And after a few months, I prayed for a different job. Soon after that, I read that the Convention Baptists were posting for the position of national director for their pension and benefits plans. I applied and I got it. They thought I was their answer to prayer, and I knew they were mine. I'm no stranger to walking with people in their final days. These include my friend Ellen that I mentioned, a couple of other close friends, my work colleagues, my prayer partner. I will tell you about Janet, my prayer partner. Janet went into Toronto General Hospital for a simple, routine, overnight medical procedure. She never came out. She was diagnosed with a rare form of inoperable, incurable cancer. Although she had many friends, many Christian friends through her employment at 100 Huntley Street and her own church, she looked to me for much of her care and support. We all prayed Janet would be healed. Huntley Street staff spent a weekend at their retreat, I think on the Severn, on their faces praying for Janet's healing. I was so sure she would recover. But one weekend, the Lord tried to prepare me for her death. This did not go well. He was so gracious and gentle with me, but my pain was unbearable. I didn't think I could go through this again. I'd already lost probably 5 people, with Janet as my support, and now this time without Janet. For 3 days, I begged him to change his mind. And then my pastor and I prayed that I would accept this as his will. Blessed peace. Janet died 4 days later. I got to the hospital about 10 minutes after she died, and I sat with her for a few minutes. I experienced the peace that passes all understanding. It is completely unexplainable, but so real. There was no grief that day. Only calm and peace and joy. Janet died, but her witness to the staff at Toronto General Hospital was so powerful through her enduring spirit and her unbearable physical pain. Through the many, many people who visited her over the 6 months she was in hospital. She had a couple of brief moments of despair with me, but other than that, she was joyful, peaceful, and she came to be such a special person to so many of the medical personnel. 2 doctors had tears in their eyes when they talked to me after Janet died. She was just 4 months past her 30th birthday. After Janet's death, I joined the chaplaincy team at Toronto General Hospital as a lay pastoral visitor as my way to honor her and to say thank you to the staff for caring. I worked with the Baptists for almost 10 years. It was a challenging but rewarding job as we worked to get the benefit plans on side with compelling legislation and in compliance with the Tax Act. I retired for my second time in 2014 and we moved to Whitby. I was very tired by the time I retired and I wasn't well. I had been sick for about 4 months and this lasted about 2 years. Tests revealed nothing. I was looking for a new church home, and on the Sundays when I felt well enough to go to a service, I did, but I frequently had to leave. One day I told the Lord, "This is really getting to me. You either have to heal me or show medical personnel what's wrong." The next morning, I was about to take a pill that I had been taking for over 40 years for a hiatus hernia, when I had a strong feeling not to take it. So I didn't, half expecting to be in a lot of pain, but by late afternoon, I was feeling better than I had in a long, long time, but not 100%. A couple of weeks after that, my daughter in Florida, a vegan, suggested again to me that I make some dietary changes, including or especially cutting out dairy. I did that, and I was back to my great state of health. Thank you, Lord. In the months leading up to my second retirement, the word legacy kept coming to mind. I would write it down in my prayer journal and commit it to prayer each day. I thought the Lord was leading me to pick up on something I'd started a few years before, a financial and retirement planning book for Canadian Protestant clergy. I started to work on this, but in no time at all, the project just became a burden because what I was writing just didn't flow as I thought it should, and I couldn't stay interested. The next bright idea I had was a legacy cookbook for the kids with all their favorite recipes. I developed a skeleton, created chapter headings, went through recipes and recipe books, and got started, but I wasn't excited about that either. So I set the cookbook idea aside, at least for the time being, maybe forever, thinking maybe I won't be doing any more writing. In the fall of 2019, I felt the Lord nudging me to dig out that treasure box of papers and to go through it. For more than 35 years, these writings had waited patiently for me to return to them. I was surprised at the volume. There must have been close to 200 pieces, some dated, most not, all untitled, some rewritten in an attempt to make them more legible. There was no order to them, just a haphazard bunch of paper. As I was going through these papers, I received insight from the Lord that this was the legacy work that had been pestering me for 5 years, since 2014. Before I moved to my computer to turn my scraps of paper into what has become a book, I toyed with several titles all around the word legacy. They were all okay, but none were spectacular. Then one day I read Acts 20:22 in the Living Bible translation. "And now I entrust you to God and his care and to his wonderful words that are able to build your faith and give you the inheritance of those who are set apart for himself." I had my title, Entrusted Inheritance, and the book is dedicated to my kids, Sherry, Mike, and Deanna. It should be print ready by fall. The next step is to get it edited. To some extent, I've relived those times of ecstasy and worked through the times of agony. Strange, though, if you were to ask me what circumstances precipitated the turmoil writings, I couldn't tell you, as memory of that is long gone. For nearly 25 years, we've been a blended family. with 5 kids, 7 grandkids, the 8th on the way, 3 great-grandchildren, there's always something going on in one of the homes. There's troubles and woes about work or money or health or relationships or school or some rebellion. Norm and I try to be listeners. Norm's a great listener. I don't know how people without faith get through all that life dishes out. I don't know how different all my relationships would be if the Lord had not made such a dent in my stony heart all those years ago. My primary support group is here tonight, Norm, Mike, and Deanna. Sherry in Florida is here in spirit. Once I was well enough to start attending church regularly, I spent about a year in each of 2 churches here in Whitby before I decided to try a Sunday service here. This little church is different from any other church I ever attended, and I think it's more like the New Testament early church before organized religion got in the way and turned churches, at least mainline churches, into what they are today. We feel the presence of the Lord in every service, and stronger, I think, every week. The Shekinah glory of the Lord permeates these walls. I'll close with a poem that I titled Incurable Madness. Loving the Lord is incurable madness. Thank you, Jesus, that it is incurable. It's incurable because, having met the Lord, I cannot turn away. It's incurable because he leads me into a deeper and deeper commitment to him. It's incurable. I fall asleep thinking about him. I wake up thinking about him. It is madness because at some point I realized that even though I really love life, I mean I really, really, really love life, my spirit is imprisoned and will not be fulfilled until it is free and in the presence of the Lord. And when I realized that, I said, "Oh God, I've become a fanatic." I think he smiled and said, "Yes." Thank you.